Well, today I'm going to speak this message on angels, angels and demons. Next week is demons, this week angels. I wanted to talk a little bit about the idea that there is this fascination with angels, don't you think? I think there's a lot of people that are real fascinated by the idea that there's angels that exist and that they can help us, and that there's times where they've really directed somebody to, out of a dangerous situation, they've pulled them out of something that was dangerous, or they've stopped something from hurting them, or something like that that's taken place in their life. Well, I think this is a reason why that we've had so many TV shows over the years that have talked about angels. I mean, you've seen like Touched by an Angel or Highway to Heaven, or, you know, everybody should remember, if you have any sense at all, you watch It's a Wonderful Life at Christmas time. Tell me you do, because that's like the best movie ever. I'd say it's probably one of my top five, for sure. But I'm sure most of us recognize the name Clarence Oddbody, right? Clarence Oddbody, the angel that comes to help poor old George Bailey so that he doesn't kill himself because he's hopeless and he's in despair and he needs help at that time. And I'm sure that you guys recognize the most powerful line that probably is mentioned everywhere about angels is what? Every time a bell rings, an angel gets its wings, right? Okay. So obviously there is a lot of information out there about angels. We talk about angels. We see it in the movies and the TV shows and all that. And sometimes they're really portrayed somewhat real. Sometimes they're really portrayed really wrong. Really wrong. Sometimes it's really like kind of dark. Kind of dark. And that's not necessarily the angel that I think God would want us to think about. But there's a lot of misleading information out there, too, about angels. And I think that a lot of times we could either be tempted to do one of two things. Either one, we could really be fascinated and really just obsessed with angels, or we could be tempted to think, who cares? What does it matter? And I think we have to find somewhere along in the middle line there to really like pay attention to what angels really are and how they can really help us and that we're aware of them. I think that there's a lot of misinformation. But I think a lot of times if we read the Bible, if you've read the Bible at all, you probably notice that there's a lot of times that they mention angels. It mentions angels many times in the scriptures. In fact, it's like 250 to 300 times angels are mentioned in the Bible. So I think God had a lot for us to understand about them that sometimes we might just dismiss it because we think of angels in the way that we've kind of been taught in society or, you know, just in the world, and we don't understand what angels really are. So the word angel actually comes from the Greek word angelos, which originated from the Hebrew word malak, which actually means messenger. So we can see the idea of angels as being messengers of God, that they're here to, you know, tell us what we need to be, you know, hearing from them, from God himself. So they're messengers of God. But what an angel looks like is pretty interesting. Now, I'm sure if I mention angels, you guys are all imagining what an angel looks like in your mind, right? I mean, look, as soon as we get a fresh fall of snow, what do? We run out, we have our snow clothes on, and we go out there and we lay down and we spread our arms wide and our legs wide and we make a snow angel, right? We all try to do that because an angel to us looks like it's wearing a big long gown and it has all these wings, right? So that's what we think is an angel. If I were asking you to draw a picture of an angel, I'm sure a lot of you would draw a beautiful woman. You know, usually they have golden hair, sometimes a halo, with this long gown and these gossamer wings, you know, that are kind of like clear and beautiful and shiny, and sometimes holding a harp. Either that, or you might be drawing a little cherub, right? These little baby angels that everybody like thinks about sometimes. These little baby angels that are either naked or they have a diaper on. And then these little tiny fluttering wings that float them all over the place. If you're really messed up, when I say angel, you're thinking Victoria's Secret, okay? You're like, yeah, I remember the angels. I remember that. I remember that. I remember that, like, you know, these were women that were literally called angels that had wings on and would be wearing $100,000 bras, which I don't know who they're marketing to, besides Bill Gates and some others. I don't know who's buying that, and I don't know who Bill Gates is buying it for. So anyway, there's this, makes you wonder. But you know, the thing, this idea is with angels are definitely very different from what we would think angels are. And it's important for us to understand that, because when we think of angels, we think of them in a certain terms, and it really, they don't look at anything like what we think in our world. So you might be surprised to see what all these angels actually could look like. And it's important for us to really understand that the Bible tells us there's so many times where angels show up. Angels are, give visions to people and anoint them and feed them and clothe them and do all these things for the people that are really following after God. The word angel itself can actually be misleading, because I think what we would describe a lot of times as every heavenly being is an angel, the Bible doesn't really say that. The Bible actually says that angels are messengers of God, but it doesn't really say that all these other creatures, these beings that live in heaven are angels. So they're actually called, you know, living creatures, living beings is what it says in the Bible instead. The Bible says that angels in the chapter of Ezekiel, in chapter 1, it says they are called living beings or creatures, not necessarily angels. So when he describes seeing the cherubim or the seraphim or the ophanim, which are the three types of angels that are actually mentioned in the Bible, he actually talks about them and explains to them that they're not necessarily always called angels like we would describe them as being. I think if we were ever to see a real true angel, like, you're not going to be terrified of a beautiful woman. I mean, you might be, but then you got problems. But I mean, you're not, you know, the thing is, a beautiful woman, you see that angel, that wouldn't be that scary. If you see a baby, who's scared of a baby, right? You're not scared of a baby. But angels in the Bible, we would be terrified if we really saw what a real angel looks like. So the thing is, what's interesting about the Bible when you read it is you can see that every time angels are talked about, one of the things that's always mentioned right after is, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Fear not. You know, as soon as an angel shows up, they're always saying them words to the people that they come in contact with. And I think that's because they're actually really more bizarre looking than what we think. They're actually very unusual creatures. They're not like human form all the time. They're different. I think the typical response to somebody when they come in contact with an angel is usually to fall on their face in awe and really sometimes in terror when they come face to face with them. We're going to actually show you a quick video of what angels actually in the Bible are described to look like. So it's kind of an interesting dynamic. This is what you would call the cherubim when you see that. The cherubim, as you can see, has four faces. I'm going to talk a little bit more about that. Two wings. This is the ophanim, which is the wheels that are spinning around. And this is the seraphim, that actually has six wings. So you can see that angels like that, if you came in contact with a real angel the way the Bible describes, I think you would drop down in fear and awe and maybe have to go to the bathroom. I think it wouldn't necessarily be that, you know, hey, great, there's my angel. It'd be like, oh my gosh, that's an angel. I'm terrified. I'm running from it for sure. But like I said, the cherubim is actually interesting because it actually says that they're shiny creatures. They're very, very shiny, and they have many, many eyes. That's one thing I have to say that all the angels have is you can see that they have many eyes upon them. There's always eyes. The cherubim, like I said, has four different faces, that of a human, that of an ox, that of an eagle, and that of a lion. It actually says that the faces never turn. They're always going one of the directions is what happens. It says that they have legs that are very, very straight and bull hooves for feet. They says that they gleam like polished brass. Like I said, two sets of wings, one that covers their bodies and another that's used for flight. And underneath their wings are multiple hands, human hands. Isn't that interesting when you think of that? Human hands. So it's definitely not the depiction of what we would think of as an angel here on earth. The seraphim, like I said, one of the last ones that we saw, it actually means from the Hebrew word seraph, which means to be burnt or fiery. It actually says that they have six wings, and two to cover their face, two to cover their feet, and the other two that they use to fly. So the ophanim, like I said, with the rings, that is an interesting thing because it's actually rotating wheels that are going around, and they're all covered in eyes. So when you think about those different angels that they actually mention in the Bible, it really doesn't come off like what we would think of an angel. I don't know why that took place. I don't know if it really is just kind of the tactic of the enemy, maybe for us to not really like take them serious. Maybe if we thought of an angel as being a little baby, or maybe we would look at it as just thinking a beautiful woman. You know, I don't know if that would really be something that would be something that we could, you know, be afraid of. Maybe it's something that we think we could manage of some sort. I think angels are not manageable. I think they have their own will, and they do God's will upon them, and they do what God's word says. So there's some different things. When you think about the rotating wheels of the Ophanim, I mean, I always kind of think about the fact that, you know, how God's word says that God's aware of all things, that he's everywhere. Well, maybe it's not so much that fact that God himself sees, but maybe his angels, the wheels rotating, the eyes everywhere, going all different directions to all the faces of the earth, every different direction, that they're aware and paying attention, and they're messengers, and they run to God, and they take what's going on down here to God. And it's explained to God, and God's aware of all things through that. But angels in the Bible can move quickly about. We can see that there's a lot of times they'll not be there, and then all of a sudden they're suddenly there. They just show up. They can change their appearance, the Bible says. That actually can look sometimes like mere men. Just men that we could come across in just in our daily life. It happens over and over again in the Bible. But angels for sure are there to direct and guide us to save the people who love and serve God. Angels should not be feared. What we should do is if we have Jesus on our side, if we're a follower of God, we should look at them and think that they could help us, that we could ask God to send an angel to protect us, to guide us, to help us. Not the angel itself we should be praying to, but we should be praying for God to send an angel because God is the creator of all things, correct? Well, Genesis 19:1 says, that evening, the two angels came to the entrance of the city of Sodom. Lot was sitting there, and when he saw them, he stood up to meet them. Then he welcomed them and bowed with his face to the ground. This is obviously a situation where angels just showed up as men. They just showed up outside the city, and they were there, and they were there to direct Lot and what was going to happen because Sodom and Gomorrah was going to be no more. There was going to be burning sulfur falling down upon the cities because there was so much sin. And these angels came to really protect Lot because Lot was a good man. So they came, and when Lot saw them, what he did was he bowed down, not necessarily in fear, but in honor to them, because they were the messengers of God. And there was something about them that he recognized that these were godly men that should be really just praised for the fact that they are God's messengers. I think that they probably did look like men, but I think there was a lot of awe when they saw these men. There are times in the Bible when it says that angels are invisible, and it says that a lot of times that people can only hear like what sounds of like an angel. And it says that it can sound like waves crashing on a beach or the idea that there's thunderous sounds that come from the angels. I think another time the Bible describes the fact that there's an angel that shows up that's invisible, but the only one that sees it was the donkey, Balaam's donkey. If you read that story, it's amazing. It's like one of my favorites in the Bible talking about Balaam's donkey, because this donkey, who's always been faithful to Balaam and always doing what he wanted him to do, all of a sudden this donkey doesn't move when they go on the road. And the reason why it doesn't move is because Balaam doesn't see it, but God allowed the donkey to see that there was an angel there. And he wasn't going to go past it because this donkey was afraid. He saw this angel, he's like, man, you don't have to tell me to be fearful, I'm out of here. So he takes off, he bolts away. And then there's this, you know, Balaam like thinking, what's going on? You know, he starts beating the donkey and saying, come on, you know, you need to go. I'm telling you to go. And then all of a sudden the donkey starts talking to him. It's pretty interesting. I love the story. This is, like I said, God can do anything. But what's really interesting is when Balaam opens his eyes, he sees what the donkey was afraid of. He sees that there was something there. It says in Numbers 22:31, it says, then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the roadway with a drawn sword in his hand. Balaam bowed his head and fell face down on the ground before him. When you think about that, the donkey saw what was really happening. But again, see what I'm saying? How they bow down. There's awe. There's something that you're experiencing in this moment of this wonderful creature that God created. Maybe this angel would look like a mere man, Or maybe it didn't. Maybe it looked like it was pretty powerful, and maybe it looked like that. Who's to say? We don't know. The Bible doesn't really explain to us exactly what that angel looked like at that moment. But if it was a man, I think he probably held a really serious weapon. It was probably pretty terrifying if it was a man. So I think that there was this opportunity where he's like, oh my goodness, something serious is happening here. And God was trying to direct him. Don't go that path. Don't do that. I think God does this to us. I think there's times where we don't feel like, you know, maybe we're feeling like we're going to go one direction and maybe all of a sudden something comes in our path and we can't go the way that we thought we were going to go, or something's directing us away. We don't know. It could have very well been angels stopping us from going a certain place. I think the interesting thing to note in the Bible, that in the Bible, there are no girl angels. Isn't it funny that we always describe angels as women or babies? But there is no reference to a woman by angel in the Bible at all. They're always described in masculine terms or as men. They're never as women, which obviously this goes contrary, complete contrary to what we are heard and told in society. So angels exist because they were created by God, right? To be his messengers, to do his will, to do his bidding, to actually follow up and take his plans into action is why they were created. See, the problem is a lot of people really don't keep angels on the right, you know, level that they're supposed to. See, when I said that, it just might have you might have bypassed that really quick when I said God created angels. Angels exist because God created them. That might have just went over your heads and you're like, so what does that matter? Well, that means that we don't worship angels, because God created angels. So who is the creator? We worship the creator, not the creation. Always remember this. If somebody is always telling you to pray to another saint, to pray to an angel, to pray to this, to pray to that, you never pray to those things. The Bible always says this, that Jesus is our only true intercessor. He is the one that we pray to, because he is the only one that can go to God the Father and take our prayers to him. It's important for you to remember that. You know, we're just coming off of Earth Day last week. And people, a lot of times, they really this have this idea in their mind that they're going to worship the earth. Understand, God created all things. And it's wonderful what he gave us, beautiful things to experience and to see on this earth. But understand, we should never worship the earth. We should never worship the trees and the sun and the moon and the stars. We worship the creator, the one who created all things, just like angels. We should only worship him. So we have to remember that. Colossians 1, 15 through 17 says, Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created. God was there first. And he's supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. This is where I'm going to hurt some of your little hearts. I'm going to explain something to you, and you're going to like be like, what? That's not what I thought. And somebody probably told you this a long time ago, but I want you to understand and to know that angels are not humans. And I know this is really hard, because what's happened in our world is that people have this experience where a lot of times they lose a loved one, and then people go up to them and say, wow, it's really sad, but you know, God must have needed another little angel. I want you to know that's, as much as it might hurt your heart, it's not true. Human beings do not become angels. They do not. Angels are totally different beings than what we are. In fact, the Bible actually says that someday us as humans will judge the angels. Isn't that an interesting concept to think of that? But the thing is that people, when they die, if we truly believe it as followers of God, we have to start telling the truth, people. The problem is if we, you know, constantly keep repeating these lies to people, they're going to have a wrong, you know, idea of what happens when we die. It doesn't take place. Human beings do not become angels. Angels just exist. Humans exist. When humans die, they don't just die. I've always tell the kids in youth group when I do youth ministry, I tell them all the time, which is in the Bible, There was a time that you once did not exist. You were not here. You never existed. But that time will never, ever happen again. Once you're here, your soul, you will live forever. It's just the choice of where you live forever. Understand, when we accept Jesus as our Savior, we get to go with him. We get to live with him in glory forever and ever. But if we are unaccepting of God's free gift of Jesus, we will live eternally in hell. This is God's word. It's really hard to take, isn't it? And it definitely isn't very accepted in this world today. But if we say we're followers of God, we have to keep saying the truth, not lie to people all the time. But I think it's such a weird statement that we tell people all the time to comfort a loved one that now they're up there and, you know, well, they're guarding their loved ones. Well, I don't know about you guys, but man, when I die, I want to be done with work. Don't you? I don't want another job. Good God, right now I'm doing like three. I don't want another job. I'm looking for that rest someday. I'm looking for when I go up there, I'm just in God's glory, singing holy, 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 praising him. And I get to have the Garden of Eden, which, you know, the beginning, what we were supposed to experience forever until sin came in. Do you imagine how beautiful it's going to be someday? I don't want a job. And if I do have a job, it's going to be because I like gardening. I'll be out there maybe taking care of some gardens or something, that, because that's what I like to do, but it's not going to be work. My job is not going to be concerning myself all the time whether or not my loved ones are happy or protected. That's the angel's job, not my job. So it's interesting, though, because the Bible does tell us that when we die, that we can actually be escorted into heaven by an angel. And it gives us a scripture to reference to show us this in Luke 16, 22 and 23. It says, "Finally, the poor man died and was carried by the angels to sit beside Abraham at the heavenly banquet. The rich man also died and was buried. He went to the place of the dead." What I just said. "There in torment, he saw Abraham in the far distance with Lazarus at his side." So the Bible actually tells us that when the body of a believer dies, their spirit goes to be with Christ, goes up to heaven to live with him forever. It says nothing at all about becoming an angel whatsoever. Like I said, also, it doesn't really explicitly say anywhere in the Bible that we, in particular, have certain guardian angels that are assigned to us. I think the Bible kind of makes it clear that there is angels that are out there protecting us, guiding us, directing us, helping us, but it doesn't necessarily say that there is one that's assigned to us. Maybe there are, but it doesn't necessarily say that there are in God's word. So I think what we have to do is kind of take God's word at what it says. Maybe angels exist as a whole to kind of guide us and direct us, but maybe we don't specifically have one. Or maybe if one showed up, it was because we needed it at the time, but I don't know if we actually have one in particular. The only thing it does say is that there is a scripture in Matthew. It's like Matthew 18, I think 10, and it actually says that there are little ones that have angels that protect them. And I don't know, I kind of wonder sometimes if babies, you know, when they first are born, maybe they just came from heaven. Maybe they're, you know, God says he knew us when we were knitted in our mother's womb. Maybe he was so involved in that creation that the angels kind of go down with them for a while, and then maybe when they start to, you know, get a little older and start screaming, it's like, yeah, I'm out. You know, I'm out. You're on your own now, maybe. I don't know. But, you know, I do think that we have to understand that human beings have angels sometimes around them, guarding them, protecting them, stopping them from going places, just like Balaam's donkey. I think we have to remember that. I think that we have to remember and keep angels in the right place, like I said. I think that if we start to look at God's creation and we start to look at how they're wonderful and they're glorious, but if we start to put them ever in front of God, we are wrong. It's blasphemous. God says all the time that we need to keep the right perspective of who needs to be worshiped. You know, God the Father, Jesus the Son, the Holy Spirit of God. These are the things that we should praise and give glory to, not an angel. There's times in the Bible where it says, you know, that a guy would like bow down to an angel and the angel will say, no, not to me. I'm just a servant too. I'm just a mere servant. But the Bible says that there is a lot of angels. It actually says in Daniel 7:10, it says that there are millions of angels ministering to God and attending to him. Think of that. You saw those creatures. Can you imagine millions of them? Millions of those things out there. You know, there's a spiritual battle fighting around us at all times, and we don't see it. Thank God we don't. We'd be terrified. We would be terrified if we saw what was really going on. We can't see it. I could have angels and a demon fighting right here, and you guys would not see it. It could be fighting right around me, right around you. These are things that exist. Just God in his mercy doesn't allow us to see them all because we would be terrified. We'd all be living at a funny farm. Nobody would believe us. You know, they'd say, no, you know, that's not real. But the Bible says that these angels minister to God and attend to him. They stand at attention. They're on call. They're available whenever God needs them. Angels never get weak. They never get old because they were created by him to accomplish his will. So the way they were created is they're going to live as long as God desires them to live forever, and they're going to do his bidding. Like I said, there's a lot of times the angels do come as mere men. Mere men, they kind of can change their appearance. They can look different. And they come as men sometimes just to be messengers, just to come and talk to the people that they have to talk to and make something clear. But like I said, many times it says, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I don't know if that means because they came just maybe all of a sudden. You know, maybe if you're standing here and all of a sudden there's an angel just boom right there, a guy even, it'd be like, it would be scary. Maybe that's why he says, don't be afraid. Or maybe because they are that terrifying. Maybe they showed up like that. And then I think it would be definitely dropped down in an awe and think, don't kill me, you know, in a second. But Luke 1, 11 through 13 says, while Zechariah was in the sanctuary, an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing to the right of the incense altar. So we can see, suddenly appeared. Zechariah was shaken and overwhelmed with fear when he saw him. But the angel said, don't be afraid, Zechariah. God has heard your prayer. Your wife Elizabeth will give you a son, and you are to name him John. This is John the Baptist. This is the one that comes before Jesus to prepare the way, right? To say, repent and believe. Repent, turn from your sins, accept Jesus as your Savior. It's interesting because that same messenger, that same angel, goes again to Mary just mere months later and tells her that she has something she has to do. It says in Luke 1:30 and 31, it says, don't be afraid, Mary, the angel told her, for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. See, many a times the angels will show up as messengers trying to say that this is what your job is going to be. This is what you're going to do. You know, you're going to name this person Jesus. You name this next person John. John was different because that wasn't a family name. It was something that they were supposed to just, you know, name because God said that's John's name. But it's kind of interesting because there's actually three different names in the Bible that talks angels' names. Gabriel was the one that came and talked to both of these women, you know, explaining into Zechariah, saying that they're going to have these sons. So that was the angel Gabriel, the Bible says. Then also you have Michael in the Bible that says Michael is an archangel, which basically means that he is the leader of a lot of angels. And it actually means protector, that he's the protector angel. And then you probably heard of the other one. The other one's name is Lucifer. And Lucifer has an interesting experience. What happens to that angel? And it actually says that it's an angel that actually turned away from God in his rebellion. And we're going to learn more about him next week, but I'm going to really quickly read you this. It says in Ezekiel 28, 14, and 15, it says, I ordained and anointed you as a mighty angelic guardian. You had access to the holy mountain of God and walked among the stones of fire. You were blameless in all you did from the day you were created until the day evil was found in you. The Bible tells us in different ways that some people believe that Lucifer was turned out to be Satan, that he was up in heaven, that he was a cherubim, the one that we showed you at the beginning, that he had the two sets of wings and he was there and he was guarding the Garden of Eden, that he was there going to be a protector. But of what happened is evil went into his heart and he started to think he was more powerful than God and that he was better than God. So that's actually who they believe that Lucifer was in the Bible that they talk about. So the thing is that we have to understand this idea that these angels exist. Maybe one that's going to be Gabriel, Michael. These are the big, the named angels, the ones that we can read in the Bible. But over and over again, we see angels that are ministering to people in the Bible. We can see that Daniel, when he was in the lion's den, the pit, you know, it says that angels actually went and shut the mouths of the lions so that, you know, Daniel didn't get ate. And then you also have the situation in the story with Peter when he's in prison. And it says an angel walked before him and kind of like told him to escape. This is how you go. The chains fell off of him and he escaped out of the prison. An angel also was one that actually rolled away the huge stone that was guarding the tomb when Jesus was resurrected. So you have all these different experiences where angels showed up. There's also times in the Bible where it says that an angel literally just came and cooked meals for people. Cooked meals. It's kind of an interesting thing when you think of that, isn't it? That they're there and they're so real that they're actually there feeding the people. And in Psalm 91, 9 through 12, it says, his promise to us, this is for us, if you make the Lord your refuge, if you make the Most High your shelter, no evil will conquer you. No plague will come near your home, for he will order his angels to protect you wherever you go. They will hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. That alone should make you want to serve Jesus and follow him. I mean, think about that promise that's there. That promise that actually says, if you make the Lord your refuge, that means if you hide within the folds of his robe, if you trust in him for all things, that he's going to do his desire is to protect you and guard you and help you. And he's gonna keep you from harm. That we can trust in him. I think that we have to understand that there are angels, and they're probably out there right now guarding and protecting you. There's probably experiences that you had that you don't even know how you ended up, where you ended up, or what you did. I mean, if I talk to you, a lot of you probably have some interesting stories to tell me about angels. Because I do believe that they are real and they exist, and I think some of us have experienced it. The Bible actually says that we should even be careful because sometimes we have entertained angels without even knowing it. You know, we've had an experience one time where somebody came knocking on our door really, really late at night, and it was a young girl. We invited her in. She was all upset and worried and stuff. And this is, I don't even know if we were believers at the time. But, you know, later on you wonder, you know, when you read stuff like that in the Bible and it says you don't even know, you might have entertained an angel. You know, maybe that's what happened. Maybe there was an experience like that. Maybe God just wants to kind of like test our heart. Are we going to be kind and loving? Are we going to turn people away and say, I don't want nothing to do with you? Now, I'm not telling you to go out there and pick up every stranger on the road. I'm not telling you that. I want to make that clear because you still have to have sense. You know, the Bible says, wary as snakes, harmless as doves. So we have to be intelligent about what we do. And I always say, too, women, I mean, unless the Lord came down and specifically spoke to you, pick up this person, and you literally heard the voice and bright light was there, don't pick up a stranger, okay? Don't do it. Don't do it. I don't want to be responsible for that. Anyway, I do think that we have to understand that there's an invisible world all around us, a world in which demons and angels exist, that they are there fighting around us, and we're not aware of it, but there are spiritual fights that are happening for your soul. If you've accepted Jesus, I'm sure there was a spiritual fight that took place for your soul, and if you're still struggling, there's probably still demons trying to fight and take you down. We have to count on the fact that we have trust in our angel to help us. Trust in God, the bright and shining star, that we can pray to him to send an angel to help us fight and battle the demons that are around us. You know, the thing is, they're real. They're real. Angels are real. They're not fake. They're a creation of God. We need to respect them, but never worship them. We should appreciate them, but just like God's word says, we should never bow down to them, ever. Hebrews 13:2 says, some strangers we meet might be angels. So open your eyes up to the spiritual world. Open your eyes up to think that there is something going on around us that sometimes we're just not aware of. You know, the thing is, angels were created to be messengers. And the thing that we always have to remember is the message is always Jesus. It's always Jesus, not another God, not another created thing, not like angels or trees or the sun or the moon. It's Jesus, Him above all things. Hebrews 1, 3, and 4 says, the Son radiates God's own glory and expresses the very character of God. And He sustains everything by the mighty power of His command. When He had cleansed us from our sins, He sat down in the place of honor at the right hand of the majestic God in heaven. This shows that the Son is far greater than the angels, just as the name God gave Him is greater than any other name. This is what we always have to remember. God, Jesus, Holy Spirit. This is what we worship. We don't worship saints. We don't worship angels. We don't worship the creation. We worship the Creator, right? Let me pray for you. Well, God, You are so good and so loving. We thank You, Father, that You have, I'm sure, sent angels to protect and guide us. We just pray, Father, that You help us, Lord God, to wake the spiritual world out there. That we can not be afraid of it, but we can actually ask for Your help in the spiritual world, that we can ask to be protected and guarded. We thank You, Father, that You are so good and so loving and that You are fighting for us. You're fighting for those, especially that just made that decision to follow after You last week. Lord, I pray for those people. I pray that You would protect them and guard them with Your angels, that You would guard and protect their minds from what the enemy's trying to do to trip them up or cause them to be led astray again. We thank You, Father, for Your goodness and Your love. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.